Okay. 30 Lamed Hey Amid Aleph 35A2 first column. This we learned last week, but it's still in the middle, so we'll start from there. The Gemara is trying to figure out how do we know. The Mishnah said a statement, mitzvah is connected to time, women are not obligated in. Positive mitzvah is not connected to time, women are obligated in. So the Gemara asked, how do we know it? So basically, the Gemara's last answer, there's two mitzvahs, there's matzah, there's hakel, which are two psukim, that tell us women are obligated in, and therefore, the fact that those two mitzvahs, the Torah tells us they are obligated in, means all the other mitzvahs are not. Okay? But the Gemara asks, okay, but there's another opinion that says that two psukim could teach us for other mitzvahs. So the Gemara asks, basically, again, where do we know that women don't have to keep mitzvahs connected to time? So Amar Avi said like this, Papunoi, the people from Papunoi, Yodel L'Taim at the Hummels, they know the reason for this. Who is that? Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Okay? Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, how do we know women are not obligated in positive mitzvahs connected to time? Because it says, Amakar, the Pasuk says like this, V'hoyo l'cha l'esa yotcha u'l'zikonim b'inenecha. Should be a sign, this is about the tefillin. Should be a sign on your hand and a remembrance between your eyes. L'mantia teres Hashem b'ficha, that the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth. So in the same Pasuk, the Torah talks about tefillin and Torah. Therefore, the Gemara says, Huk shekol ha-Torah kulu l'tefillin. The Torah likens the whole Torah to tefillin. Because it says, put on tefillin, that the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth. Therefore, ma tefillin mitzvah saseh shazman groma. Just like tefillin is a positive mitzvah connected to time. V'noshim p'turis and women are not obligated in it. Because we learned before, tefillin is likened to Torah. By Torah says, v'shinantam levanecha, you have to teach your sons. Therefore, we learn that tefillin, they're not obligated it in. So, avko mitzvah sese shazman groma. So, from here we learn out, every positive mitzvah that women is connected to time, mednoshim peturis, women are exempt. So, he says very simple. We learn out from tefillin, because tefillin is likened to the whole Torah, and therefore, tefillin is the key of the whole Torah. Tefillin is a mitzvah connected to time. Women are not obligated in. Therefore, we learn like this. All mitzvahs connected to time, they do not have to do. All mitzvahs not connected to time, they do have to do. So this is the Gemara's answer meanwhile. That McLeod, the mitzvah saseh shalei azman grama, mitzvah, positive mitzvahs not connected to time, like you said before, mezuzah and all those types of mitzvahs, Noshim Chayavis, women are obligated. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. The basis of this is, tefillin is a mitzvah connected to time. Why is tefillin a mitzvah connected to time? Because at night you don't wear tefillin, and Shabbos you don't wear tefillin. Right? And Yom Tov you don't wear tefillin. So therefore, tefillin becomes a mitzvah connected to time. And therefore, if the Torah says tefillin women do not have to do, that teaches us any mitzvah similar to tefillin, any mitzvah not connected to time, women don't have to do, and any mitzvah not connected to time, women do have to do. Okay? So now the Gemara has a very simple question. In the Gemara Shabbos and Edavin, there's an argument if tefillin is time-bound or not. One opinion in the Gemara over there, in the Mishnah, says you can wear tefillin on Shabbos and you can wear tefillin at night. That means technically you can wear tefillin 24/7. If that's the case, tefillin is not a mitzvah connected to time. Right? So the Gemara asks, hey, nicha l'man d'yomer, that's only good according to the opinion that says that tefillin is mitzvah saseh shazman grom. El l'man d'yomer. Tefillin mitzvah saseh shalei hazman grom. But if you're like the other opinion, that tefillin is not connected to time, you know what the problem is? If they don't have to wear tefillin, maybe they don't have to do any mitzvah, whether it's connected to time or not. Or maybe the opposite. If it's not connected to time, they don't have to do it. And if it's connected to time, they do have to do it. Just the opposite of what we're saying here. We're likening all the Torah to tefillin, And therefore we say Jussig women don't have to put on tefillin. They don't have to keep any mitzvah connected to time. Right? But if your whole tefillin is not connected to time, and women are potter, that means any mitzvah not connected to time, they don't have to do. So the Gemara says like this. Yeah, but it's not a problem. Which opinion says tefillin are not connected to time, that you can wear tefillin 24/7? That's Rab Meir. It's Rab Meir's opinion in the Mishnah over there in Shabbos. V'savel and yet Rab Meir holds shnei k'suv ma'borim ke'echod, that any two psukim, okay, matzah and hakel, the mayor holds shake some boim ke'achot a melamdim, they do not teach us for the rest of Torah. Meaning like this, you're right. So Rab Meir cannot learn it out from tefillin, because tefillin is not connected to time. So how do we know women don't have to do mitzvahs connected to time? We learn it out from hakel and matzah. And Rab Meir says that these psukim don't teach us for anywhere else. Meaning, these two mitzvahs, they do have to do. Matzah and hakel.
Even though
they're connected to time. But only those two. Meaning all the other mitzvahs, they don't have to do. So we have here two things. If you hold tefillin as a mitzvah connected to time, then we learn out from tefillin that any mitzvah connected to time, women don't have to do. If you hold tefillin as a mitzvah connected to time, how do we know that you can't, women have to, which mitzvahs they don't? Because we have matzah and hakel, two mitzvahs connected to time. The Torah says two psukim that they do not have to do it. You're right, that they do have to do it, which means all the other mitzvahs connected to time they don't have to do.
Because it specifies those two.
Right. But now the Gemara says there's one problem though. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says like this, two psukim that come together, we could learn for all other mitzvahs. That means if they're obligated matzah and hakel, we could learn out they're obligated in all the other mitzvahs too. And he holds tefillin is mitzvah sase shalei hazman grama. And he holds like Rabbi Meir that tefillin is not bound to time. So how does he know which mitzvahs women don't have to do? Meaning, you can't learn it out from tefillin, because tefillin is not connected to time, according to him. Two psukim coming together, he holds that we do have to learn. So the question is, where is Rabbi Yehuda going to know that from? So the Gemara answers like this. Over here. He says, how can you learn it out? So Rabbi Yehuda comes up with another brainstorm. There's three psukim that are coming together. Meaning matzah, hakel, and simcha. And if there's three psukim that tell us women are obligated to do it, everybody agrees that all the other mitzvahs not. In other words, we learned before the argument, if two mitzvahs come together, two psukim say women have to do these two, that means all the other ones not. But over there, some people say yes, some people say no. When you have three psukim, everybody agrees that they don't have to do it, all the other mitzvahs. Okay? This is the end of this Gemara. So bottom line of the Gemara is like this. How do we know women don't have to keep positive mitzvahs connected to time? So, either we learn out from tefillin, because if you say tefillin is a mitzvah connected to time, women don't have to wear tefillin, so they don't have to keep any mitzvah connected to time. If you hold that tefillin is a mitzvah not bound to time, then we learn it out from matzah and hakel. Or Rabbi Yehuda says we learn it out from matzah, hakel, and simcha. Because those are three mitzvahs connected to time. It says women have to do it, which means all the other positive mitzvahs that are connected to time, women don't have to do. Tzitzis, they don't have to do. Shofar, they don't have to do. Lulav, they don't have to do. Sukkah, they don't have to do. Again, biblically not. Today, women accepted it upon themselves as an obligation, but they really don't have to do it. Look, now starts a new Gemara. In the Mishnah it said that women have to keep all negative commandments. All negative, what?
No, I'm just going to, still 35A3, right?
Yeah, second column. The two dots, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines in the bottom. Okay, 14 lines in the bottom of the page. The Mishnah said a statement, any negative mitzvah women have to keep. Positive mitzvahs, they have to keep only ones not connected to time. Mitzvahs connected to time with a few exceptions, they have to keep. But they have to keep all negative commandments, all 365 negative commandments except two that we'll soon learn. So Gemara said, Minohani Mili, where do I know that from? Maybe they don't have to keep negative mitzvahs either. Maybe mitzvahs are only given to men. So Gemara said, how do we know where's the source of the Mishnah statement that women have to keep all negative mitzvahs? Where do we learn it out from? To start a new piece of Gemara. Lamed Hei Amed Aleph, 14 lines from the bottom. Amed Avyud Amed Av, Chein Tanad Rei Rabbi Shmo. Amed Krab, because the Pasuk says like this. Ish a isha, it speaks about bringing a sin offering. Okay, if somebody sinned, they have to bring a sin offering. So it says that ish a isha ki yasa mikol chata isa adam, if a man or a woman will do any sin, so it says they have to bring a carbon, a sacrifice. Right? What does that mean? Hish v'akosiv isha liish, the Torah likened men to women for all punishments in the Torah. Now, it's a very interesting concept. If you don't keep a positive mitzvah, there's no punishment. There's only, in the entire Torah, from 248 positive mitzvahs, there's only two positive mitzvahs you get punished for. If you don't do a bris, and if you don't bring the carbon Pesach. If you don't bring the Pesach carbon, so then the Torah says you get karis. Every other mitzvah in the Torah, there's no punishment for a positive mitzvah. Somebody doesn't eat matzah. They don't put on tefillin. They sinned. But there's no punishment. For negative commandments, every negative commandment has a punishment. Whether it's lashes, death, sacrifice, I mean, whatever it is, you have to bring a carbon. Now the Torah, when it speaks about bringing sin offerings, says the following expression. A man or a woman that will sin, needs to bring a carbon. He needs to bring a sacrifice. Which means that men and women, as far as punishment goes, therefore, as far as negative mitzvahs go, they're equal that she has to keep, just like a man.
But in the big picture, not to get out too far, but just generally, when you do a sin, you're creating distance from Hashem.
Right.
There's no punishment really there. That you say, okay, I got punished, it's finished, and I'm over with it. But
yeah.
But
there is.
There is. I mean, is it the separation between you and Hashem, or what is the?
I'm going to use very simple, coarse words. Okay. You do a sin is evil, right? Sin is evil. A person does a sin, you get dirty.
You get dirty.
You get dirty. Sin is evil, dirty. Okay? You play with the mud, you're going to get dirty. So what's punishment? Punishment is not punishment for the sake of punishment. Punishment is a cleansing process. You got to get clean. How do you get clean from the mud? You get lashes, you get death, you have to bring a carbon. That cleanses you.
That's what I'm saying. Punishment, at least you get clean.
Oh, one second. So, what happens if somebody... Why do you... Just think about it.
It's worse.
The Torah says, don't eat treif, right? I go eat treif. I did an act of evil. I did an action that Hashem said don't do. I did a positive action to what Hashem said don't do. Okay? That makes me dirty. Right? Makes me impure.
That was a negative comment.
Right.
Okay.
Now, Hashem says, put on tefillin. And I don't put on tefillin. Did I actively go against Hashem? No. I just didn't do what Hashem told me to do. But I didn't actively go against Hashem. In other words, by putting on tefillin, you become closer. I didn't put on tefillin. I didn't go closer, but I didn't get further either.
Okay.
Because I didn't do anything. What's the purpose of punishment there? Punishment is, you got dirty, you need to get washed. But if I didn't get dirty, how can I get washed? Now, one second. Nevertheless, what you're making is a very valid point. If I ate chazer and I get whipped, lashes, I'm clean. I'm back to where I started. When I don't put on tefillin, when I don't hear shofar, and I don't do all that, I didn't get dirty, but that closeness that I could have had with Hashem, I'm not getting. Therefore, let's say for a week I didn't put on tefillin. Okay, now I do tshuva. Now I'm going to start putting on tefillin every day. Yeah? But that's only good from now on. Yesterday's tefillin, a week ago tefillin, that closeness I'm not going to get. That's why the Gemara says, what are examples of a sin that you can never rectify? You miss the Shema, you miss tefillin, you miss... Because those things, what are you going to do? But there is a level of tshuva that can make the undone done.
Get married.
The undone done.
So, the sin... I'm sorry, when you use the word sin, and it's a separation between you and Hashem, you as an example, and but yet at the same time, you're not dirty.
It's sin of a positive mitzvah.
Right.
Right.
Sin of positive mitzvah.
Right.
And then the person who does a teshuva and starts, let's say, putting on the tefillin and so on, if it's really not, is he really here and remaining here, or actually is going down, but by putting tefillin, he's maybe coming back to the same place that he was.
No, you didn't go down, but you could have gone up, and you didn't go up.
And all the benefits that Hashem could give you.
You can have a 10-year-old kid that's very, very smart. Yeah? But if he stays the same smart at 15, something's wrong.
Yeah.
He didn't go backwards.
Yeah, that's right.
But by 15, he's supposed to be improving more. If he didn't improve, then as he is, it's retarded. Because there's something wrong.
Yeah.
So Rav Yehuda Amirav says, how do we know women have to keep all negative commandments? Because the pasuk says, Isha Isha, that they'll do an Aveda, and they have to bring a carbon. So we see in that, the Torah likens men to women. Now the Gemara is going to say two other cases where Torah likens men to women, but it has nothing to do with the mitzvah. And as the Gemara answered the question of, what's wrong? The Gemara answered the question of the Gemara. Where's the source of the Mishnah that women have to keep all negative commandments? Because the Torah says by punishment they're equal. That means by negative mitzvahs they're equal. Then the Gemara says like this. Devei Rabbi Eliezer Tana, the Yeshiva Rabbi Eliezer says like this. Amakar of the Pasuk says, Asher Tosim Lifnehem. The beginning of Pashas Mishpatim, the Torah says these are the mitzvahs you should put before them. Plural. Heshva Akasiv Isha L'Isha L'Chol Dinim Shebetera. In all monetary cases, the men and women are equal. That means if a woman damages, you damage a woman. Whatever it is, monetary things, men and women are equal. Then another verse, the yeshiva of Chizkiya says like this. It says in the pasuk, "V'amakra ahemis a isha is a isha." If the Torah speaks about an axe, God forbid, killing a man or a woman, okay. So the Torah says, "V'hemis ish isha, hishva kosev isha liish." The Torah equates a man and a woman for the whole mitzvah shabbatayda for all deaths in the Torah. Meaning, there's no difference between killing a man, killing a woman, right? Therefore, you have to pay what's called redemption fee. If the axe kills a person, you have to pay redemption fee.
But the payment he makes is different for woman and man.
No.
Women,
that's the values by Erchin. By damages, how do you evaluate? Well, but this whole discussion, there's no difference between men and women in this din. Right. Now the Gemara says, Utsricha, I need all three dinim that tell us that a man and a woman are equal. One is the punishments, one is the monetary laws, and one is the damages laws. So it says like this. The Iyashmin Hach Kamaiser, if the Torah would have only said the one about the punishments, I would think, you know why men and women are equal by punishments? Mishum Kapara Chas Rachman Olah. The Torah has pity on a woman. He says, you know, you sinned. We're going to let you do kapara. You're going to get forgiveness by bringing a sacrifice. I will deem him, but maybe when it comes to like compensatory damages or payments, I would think, ish devar masel matan, a man who deals with business, ain, he's subjugated to the laws of business. Isha, a woman that doesn't do business, in the time of the Gemara, women didn't do business. Like, maybe it wouldn't apply. V'iyashmin in ha, and if the Torah only says the law of payments, that men and women are equal, I would think, chiyusahi, because her life is at stake. You know? Avul kefa, but when it comes to redemption for killing somebody, aim, I would think, ish, devar mitzvah, a man who has to do mitzvahs in, yes, isha loy, but a woman not, so therefore I need that. And then it says, v'iyashmin in ha, and if it only said the third case, that man and women are equal by death, I would think the equal ibud neshama, because there's a loss of life, the ox killed the woman, chas rachman alav, the Torah makes you liable for paying. Aval hanech tati, but the other two areas of laws, redemption and monetary laws and tshuva, I would think, no, srich, we need all three. But again, this is the Gemara is only saying this as far as the likening of a man and woman, why you need all three. But again, the Gemara just brought the second two in passing. But again, how do we know women have to keep all negative mitzvahs? Because the Torah says by punishment they're equal. If by punishment they're equal, by keeping the mitzvahs they're equal. Okay? Okay, we... top of the page.
By monetary case,
you went too far. You turned to page. What? Three lines down. What?
By monetary case.
Yeah.
She's married. She's chayav?
Yeah, we just learned that last night at the Chumash class. If a woman damages somebody, she's married. Because technically, whatever a woman owns belongs to the husband. Not nowadays. We went through this last night. But technically, so she has no money to pay it, but she has a debt that she has to pay when she gets divorced or die, or the husband dies.
Well,
yeah. If a katan, now I have a thing. If a katan damages, he's not obligated. In biblical law, not nowadays. Because he's not obligated for what he did. A woman damages, just like a man has to pay. The difference is a man has money available, he has to pay now. The woman doesn't have money now because it belongs to the husband. She has to pay whenever she'll have a chance. But the debt is there. We mentioned last night, there's no bankruptcy din in Torah law. You can't get out of debts in Torah law with bankruptcy. You don't have money? Nothing. You still owe the money. Whenever you get money, you have an obligation to pay it. There's no bankruptcy that wipes out debts. Shemitah maybe does, but not bankruptcy laws. In Torah, there's no bankruptcy law.
So what happens if you declare bankruptcy?
Huh?
In American law, you declare bankruptcy?
In American law, it is.
Okay.
But not in Torah law. Page 70. Three lines at the top of the page.
If somebody in business goes bankrupt, and this Jewish
is Israel. Again, because there's Dina de Malchus Adina, the laws of the land have certain respect, but in certain cases, no, it doesn't have bankruptcy law. In other words, if they went to Bet Din, instead of going to secular court, two people went to Bezdin does not take bankruptcy into consideration.
And what about the... let's say the father goes bankrupt or whatever happens, he cannot pay, and then the son automatically becomes
unconscious possible, the oldest son?
No. He's only responsible if the father dies and there's money left in the estate. A son is not obligated to pay a parent's debt. Now the Gemara says there is a concept that if his father died and owed money, it's proper for the son to pay the debt, that his father shouldn't be left dead with a bad name. You know, people curse him and whatever. But there's no halachic obligation that the courts can obligate a child to pay the debt of the father. It's not his debt. Now, if the father died and there's money in the estate, then there's a lien on the estate. So the son can't say, now it's my estate, I don't have to pay it. Because the estate has the lien, the halachic lien, from the time of the father. That has
what
to...
What about vice versa?
Same if thing.
His father and son...
Father's not obligated for his son's debt, and the father doesn't... Well, usually the father doesn't inherit the son. Okay, now the Gemara came to the conclusion that a woman has to keep all negative commandments. But the Mishnah said except two. What are the two? Bal takif u bal tashchis. This is what the Mishnah said. She cannot destroy the corners of one's head and not to destroy the corners of one's beard.
She's exempt
from this. That means, as the Gemara is going to say, technically, if a woman would grow a beard, she could shave it with a razor. You know, a man is not allowed to round. There's two mitzvahs in the Torah. One about the beard, and one about the size of the head, right? Technically, according to Halacha, you cannot bald, and what's called rounding the head, to cut off everything. You have to leave payas. Okay? So it says, a woman, and the Gemara is going to ask, like, from where do we learn it from? But the Torah says, women have to keep all 365 negative commandments of the Torah, except two. What are the two? She can round her face. If she wanted to go bald and take a razor, because the Issa is really with a razor, because that's when you're destroying, you know, the hair. Or the beard.
Nine.
Because technically a woman can take a razor and shave her beard.
Why does it even have a halakha for the woman when...
What do you mean, why?
I mean, they don't have any facial.
But sometimes they do.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So you go to electrolysis, or other things they go to.
$1 billion industry.
No, sometimes women have, not like a man's beard, but they have, yeah, right. Sometimes they can.
A lot of these movie stars, they shave, they actually shave, because they have to be on the set every day. The women stars.
They have to shave what, their beards?
Yeah, the face.
The women?
Yeah, they do.
I was never a woman actress. I don't
they
know.
They have to go in the set every day.
No.
They have to be proper every day. They have no time to go to all the
beauty salons.
Maybe it was wrong.
No, it doesn't matter. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Oh, and the third thing, a third mitzvah they don't have to keep. A wife of a kohen can go to a cemetery. A daughter of a kohen, even though she's a kohen, bas kohen, she can go to cemeteries.
She can.
She can. Okay, the Gemara is going to learn out. Because by the laws of impurity of a kohen, it says, emer, at the beginning of Parshas Emer, emer ala kohanim b'nei Aaron, lenefesh lo yitama, not to become impure to a dead body. So the Torah says like this, say to the kohanim, the sons of Aaron. Now, we know kohanim come from Aaron. Right? Everybody knows Kohanim come from Aaron. So why does the Torah say B'nei Aaron? To teach us, the Gemara is going to say, only the male Kohanim cannot become impure, but a female Kohanim could.
Because only they have to go to Beit HaMikdash and serve, maybe.
No. Even today.
It's a chayk.
Well, Kohanim have a certain holiness. Today, there's no Beit HaMikdash, but a Kohanim can't go to a cemetery.
Cannot.
That's what's my question to you. Right now, the Kohen cannot.
No.
In what situation he can?
If his father died, or brother died.
Father or brother, one of the.
Or wife, or siblings, right. But even that, they can only go. They can't come back. So they have to be, that's why in many cemeteries, they bury Kohanim. In many from cemeteries, you know, Chicago has one, like New York have them, they bury a Kohanim. If this is the cemetery, okay, they'll bury him in the front row, that they could stand outside the cemetery and be by the grave. Or, if you have a road into a cemetery, and there's no trees, because if you have a tree, here's a grave, okay, and here's a walkway. And if you have a tree that goes from here, overhanging the walkway, and the tree goes over a grave and over the walkway, a Kohen cannot walk under the walkway either, because he's in the same tent. Okay? But technically, what happens if there's no trees? Okay? And here are graves, and here's a road. Like many cemeteries have a road. You could drive in, because the car makes a machitza. It's a separation. So you could drive in, you can get out of the car, as long as you're 6 feet away from the grave.
6 feet.
6 feet, Dalet Amis. And there's no tree overhanging, you could stand there too. So let's see, nowadays, the other cemeteries will bury a Kohen near a road. If there's no trees, and then the kids can go visit. But let's say, here's a bunch of graves. 100 graves here, let's say. And you're going to bury a Kohen in the middle. So the son could go to the funeral. The problem is, how is he going to get back? He's going to go through all those graves. And that he's not allowed to do.
Go
with a mechitza. So he can go to, he can't walk out.
You have to make a mechitza farm like they used to have it in oil.
Yeah. Now they have a fence.
But they still can't walk over, even if he has that mechitza around.
Right, you can't walk over a grave. Okay, but let's see the Gemara. So Gemara says like this. So there's three negative mitzvahs that women don't have to keep. Okay? Not rounding the head, they could. Not cutting the beard, they could. And the cemetery. Now the Gemara says, Bishlam about the Tamil Mesim. I understand why a female Kohen could become impure. Because it says in the Torah, Emer la Kohanim b'nei Aaron. Say to the Kohen, the sons of Aaron. B'nei Aaron, meaning the sons of Aaron, v'lo b'nei Sam, not the daughters of Aaron. El baltakiv baltash, but the other two mitzvahs, not cutting the beard and not shaving the head, you know, by the corners. Minola, and how do we know that women don't have to keep those mitzvahs? Like, why should that be different than any other negative mitzvah that they have to keep? So it says like this. The chesiv, it says in the Torah, leistakifu pa'asreishchem, do not round the corners of your head. By the way, this is the corner of your head. So you can't round it, meaning cut off all the hair. And do not destroy the corner of your beard. Okay? Therefore, what does it say in the same pasuk? There's two dinim, beard and rounding the head. Ma kol sheyashni bashchaso, whoever is obligated in not destroying a beard is obligated in not rounding the head. Vahani noshim, and the Gemara is going to say why, and women, because women are not obligated to destroy the beard. They could destroy the beard, and we'll soon see why. Less than Bakova, they can shave their head too. Now the Gemara says like this. In the same pasuk, it says, don't round your head and don't cut your beard. That means we're putting them in the same category. That means if you're allowed to cut your beard, then you could round your head. So because women are not commanded in not cutting the beard, they're allowed to round their head too. So the Gemara right away asks, how do we know that? How do we know women are allowed to cut their beards? So Gemara says like this. If you want, I'll tell you a logic. Number one, why? Because they don't have a beard. Like this is what the Gemara is saying now. I'll tell you, you know why they can cut the beard? Because they don't have one. If the Torah says don't cut your beard, but if you don't have a beard, that way you can cut it. Or I'll prove it from a pasuk. It says like this. And you have to be careful in the grammar of the pasuk. Now we just quoted the pasuk, Leisakifu pasrei shchem. You should not cut the corner of your head. Now rosh chem is plural of your heads. Veleisashchis es pas zikonecha. Zikonecha is singular. When the Torah speaks about rounding the head, it says plural. Don't round the corners of your heads, plural. Mm-hmm. By beard, it says singular. Don't cut, don't destroy your beard. Therefore, the Gemara says like this. The Torah changed because it should have said, if that's the case, if the Torah is speaking plural, it should have said, your beards. Just like it says your heads, it should say your beards. What does it mean? Your beard? So the Torah says, your beard and not your wife's beard. Singular means only men, not women. And the fact that the Torah now says we're likening beard to head, and women are not obligated to cut the beard because the Torah says your beard, singular, meaning not your wife's beard, only the male beard. So then they're allowed to round the voice, the corners of the head also. So Gemara said, we learn out from a pasuk that women don't have beards, and therefore they can cut their beard with a razor, and they could round their heads. So Gemara right away says, what are you talking about? We see in the Mishnah that women have beards. Said, v'loi, v'tanya, we learned in a braisa, zekan ish of asaris. The beard of a woman or asaris is a male who cannot mature sexually. So they'll never grow a beard. They have a beard like all dinim. That means, there's a Mishnah that says, if a woman has a beard, it has a din of a beard.
This is not a woman.
What? No, Isha Vahasaris, it says. Zikan Isha Vahasaris. A woman? Two different people. Saris is a guy that is not able
like
to, whatever they call him. Here it says, the term Saris refers to a male who is incapable of maturing sexually. His growth of a beard then would be a rare anomaly. They just don't grow beards. So yet the Mishnah over there says that if they do, it has a din of a beard. So how can you tell me women don't have beards? It's possible that they could have a din of a beard. So the Gemara says, no, my love. So the Gemara thought, what do you mean it's equal in the dinim of a beard? What do you mean by that it's equal? So probably for not cutting it. So you see that women do have a beard, and therefore, l'chedet, you shouldn't be allowed to cut the beard. It definitely does not mean about cutting the beard. Women could cut the beard even if they have a beard. Why not? Because it says, Pa'as, pa'as, mibnei Aaron. Mean like this. By Kohanim, the Torah says, but when the Torah speaks about becoming impure, the Torah says over there, began Pashas Emor, says like this. Tell the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, like this. Don't become impure for this and this and this. And then the Torah says like this. About the Kohanim. Don't make a bald spot for a dead person. They used to, years ago, when people died, the goyim used to rip out here a sign of mourning and create a bald spot. So the Torah says, Kohanim are not allowed to do it.
That's for every person,
no? Yeah, 1 second. But we'll see in the Gemara. But the pasuk is by Kohanim. Then the Torah says, Upas zekenechem loy, pas, what's the pasuk? Upas zekonim loy yigalechu. The Kohanim should not cut the beards. Okay, now, we learned already, it says, B'nai Aaron.
Yeah. Right.
So all those dinim only apply to men.
Right.
All of them. The impurity, the bald spots, because the Torah says over there, and the same thing, the Torah is saying, B'nai Aaron. Which means, he says like this, women for sure can cut their beard. Why? Because we liken not to shave a beard to the shaving of the Kohanim. Just like over there is men, so over here it also has to mean men. So Abaye says you can't say that when the Mishnah says that women that have a beard have a din of a beard, it means not to cut it. Because from this Gzeirah Shavah, here it says Peah, here it says Peah. And over there it means only men, not women. So here it also means women. So obviously women could shave a beard. So if so,
what are the mitzvahs shayach to the beard?
The one I was going to tell you about leprosy, about korbanos after leprosy.
But you know, Rabbi, a bas kohen who's impurity of the dead, she can eat kachim and she can eat teruma.
She has to go to the mikveh. Not any different than Yisrael. A Yisrael is allowed to eat certain sacrifices. Yeah? What happens if he's tamei? He has to go to the mikveh. Or if it's a dead body, he has to get the red heifer, paraduma, and that's it. Bas Kayin is not any different than Yisrael.
Except she could eat teruma.
Not if she's tamei. Right, she can eat. Now, yeah, she can eat too much. Certain karbanis she could eat also. Some karbanis says only the male could eat.
Except she can lose her title if she doesn't behave. She can.
Like what?
If she marries somebody she's not supposed
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
She can't eat.
Not only that, no. If a bas kohen marries a Yisrael, she loses her status.
Right.
Of eating truma and all that.
So is there a law for Bat Aaron or
Bat Kohen
for marrying? Is there any law for that? She can marry
anybody Jewish.
Anybody Jewish. But wasn't there like a certain in Iran or something?
The Kohen used to marry Bat Kohen. Yeah. Like my uncle
said. Gemara says there's a Gemara in Pesachim that says that Bat Kohen who marries an Amoritz, a literate, is not a good shidduch. So what they do today, that if a guy is getting married to a bas kohen, he learns a tractate of Gemara, even a little one, and then he's called already a scholar, and then then he can marry. No, that's what they do. In our circles, it's done like that. No, it's interesting because let's take this off. If one second, if a bas kohen is pregnant, I mean, no, not the bas kohen, a wife of a kohen is pregnant, it says in halacha, it's discussed in halacha, she can go into a cemetery or not, but most opinions say she could, because it's a double doubt. No. It's not good enough. Well, one second, let me just finish. Number one, is what halacha says. 50-50, she might miscarry. And even if she has a kid, 50-50, a girl. So 75 to 25. Number one, 50-50, miscarriage or not. Then, okay? And even if she has a kid, it might be a girl. And a girl is not a problem. So they all, but many of them try to avoid it. Yeah. Even though she's a wife of a kohen, or well, yeah. Or if they have a girl, it's not a problem. Right. Okay. So then the Gemara says like this: V'is v'irulo. If you're like Abaye, that Abaye says that beard, for sure she can cut because we learn out from the kohen, and by kohen it only says the mitzvah of Bnei Aaron. He says, "Dechi kosev Bnei Aaron akula inyan ksev." If you tell me the word Bnei Aaron goes on all the laws of that parsha, tuma, beards, bald spots, and everything. Nish dekramine. Let the Torah just be quiet from saying the gzeira shava peya peya. Betesa bekavochemer. We can learn it out from a kavochemer as follows: Oma kayanim. What if kayanim? Riba b'hem dekosev mitzis seiris. Kohenim had many more mitzvahs than a regular Jew does. They have all the laws of sacrifices, all the laws of impurity that we don't have. Yet, B'nei Adam v'le b'nei Sadin. The Torah says only male Koyanim, but not female Yisrael or Kol Shekein. So Yisrael, a woman, for sure can shave her head. In other words, like this. The Torah says, B'nai Aaron, only the boys, not the girls. Right? So the Gemara says, okay, that itself should be enough to teach me that women can shave their beards. Why does the Torah have to say, here, Peya, here, Peya? Over there, by Kayanim, it means only male, not female. So any beard, it means male, not female. So why do I need the Gzera Shava? I can just learn it out without that. So the Gemara says, you know why? Ilav Gzera Shava. If without the Gzera Shava, Havamina would think Hivsiko Inyan. That because it's different laws in the Parsha, like the Torah says, starts off the Parsha by saying sons, not daughters. Then it goes to the laws of impurity. Then it goes about cutting the beard by Koyanim. Right? So I would think maybe the B'nai Aaron only goes on the first part, not in the second part. Maybe it only goes on the laws of impurity. Apply only to the male, not the female. How do I know the beard? Maybe it applies to everybody. So I need that. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Hashtanami Hipsikainian. But now maybe Taka B'nai Aaron maybe only goes on the laws of purity, not about beards. So he said, V'im Yishum Gzeira Shava. And if you tell me the reason is because of the Gzeira Shava, Mi boile l'chidatanya, I need it for a different reason. Because by the Koyanim it says like this, Pa'asikonam lo yigalechu. You shouldn't shave. Okay, now, let's get another thing, just the text of the Chumash straight. By beards, not by Koyanim, by beards, it says, lo yisashchis vespa... back to the... Here. It says, Leisakifu pasreishchem, Veleisashchis, don't destroy Eis pa'azekonecha. Don't destroy your beard. By the Koyanim, when it speaks about for dead people not ripping out your beard, it says, don't cut your beard. Don't shave your beard. What's the difference? Destroying is only with a razor. Cutting with a scissors is not destroying, but it's cutting. So this is what the Gemara says. I would think, it says in the Torah like this, it says, you shouldn't cut for that body, okay? To cut the beard. So I would think, if you just shave your beard with a scissors for a dead body, Yechayiv, you'd be obligated. Tamad leimer leisashchis. The Torah says you can't destroy. In other words, locking the both beards together. One place it says by regular beards, by the mitzvah not destroying your beard. The Torah says don't destroy your beard. By the Kohanim it says don't shave your beard. So you might say we're likening both together. Just like by a regular beard, the Torah says don't use a razor. The same thing the Torah says, by the Koyanim, you can't destroy the beard. By cutting the beard, you're not chayef. You're not chayef for cutting the beard. Then it says, Yochel or as I would think, if you cut it b'malaki to b'hitni, these are type of planes like shield makers or smooth sword sheath, you'd be chayef. And that's what happens if you take like a sandpaper. And take off your beard, I would be chayiv. Tamalem, it says, no, lo yigalechu, it means if you do it with an instrument that's made to cut like a razor. Okay, someone said, we'll just, okay, tzad, what does that mean? Giluach sheyesh ba hashchosa, a shaving that destroys is forbidden, and otherwise not. Have a aimer, what does it mean? Only a razor. Meaning like this. By the beards, okay, biblically, the Gemara is learning out from these psukim, It's only forbidden if you actually use a razor. Because that actually destroys the face.
Is it because it destroys or because the Torah says don't let metal touch your face?
Torah doesn't say anywhere don't let metal touch your face.
Because it cuts your life or something.
This is metal, it can go like this. Doesn't. See, the Torah speaks about this twice. Once by the Kohanim in reference, what people used to do for dead bodies, to rip out their beards and rip out, make bald spots and all that. Over there the Torah says, don't lo yigalechu. Galechu means don't shave. When it speaks about regular beards, over there the Torah says don't destroy it. But the Gemara says the Gzeir Shava, this word pass, teaches us one thing. That the only time you chayiv in from the Torah is if you actually shave it with a razor. Because that destroys it. Otherwise not.
So that's, we still don't know what those areas exactly are, do we?
Huh?
Besides the temple and...
Well, basically the five corners is here, here, and here. The Gemara learns there's five corners.
First case of the shaving is regards to Kohanim. Doesn't say anything about Israel.
No, the other pasuk though, in Dvarim, when the Torah says, the pasuk says, Leisa Kifu, okay?
It's talking about Kohanim, no?
No. No. Just that's for every Jew.
Oh, okay.
Here the Torah is speaking to every Jew, okay? Don't eat blood, don't do witchcraft. Then the Torah says, Leisa kifu pasar ishchem. This is about every Jew. V'leisashchis eis b'pasar konecha. And then the Torah says, v'settled nefesh, you can't cut your flesh, you can't make tattoos. This is this psukim. Over here the Torah says, don't round the corner of your head, and don't destroy your beard. That's every Jew. Earlier, Emmer, in the next parsha, the Torah says like this: Emmer el kohanim bnei Aaron. This is only for that was for everybody. Now the Torah is speaking to kohanim. You cannot become tamei. Then it says like this: Lo yukru kucharcha bereisham. Cannot make a bald spot on your head, nor shall you shave an edge of their beards. Okay. So Rashi says, al mace for a dead body. That's what they used to do. Okay? And these mitzvahs, by the way, Rashi says, we learn it out for every Jew also. The Torah is learning it also for Kohanim. Okay?
Even though it says about Kohanim, we learn it also for
Kohanim. Yeah, because there's a Gzeir Shava pass. So teachers, you can't do it. Okay, we're going to continue next time because this is in the middle of this.
Thank you. Thank you.